Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentley here in Melbourne.
You know, each week, of course, you know, we do testimony times and we talk about how God shows up. Well, actually, the Bible has got lots of theophanies. How cool is that? What's a theophany? Theophanies are events where God reveals himself to humans in some tangible kind of way. It's something more than just evidence that God has been there. It's an actual presence somehow of God. In some ways, you could say that the Bible itself is kind of a theophany, but that's kind of taking license with the word, so probably wouldn't necessarily push it that far. You could say, in a kind of a slightly less broad sense, that the life of Jesus is a theophany, and that's probably true, not super helpful, perhaps. We're really just talking about where God the Father has revealed himself in some way to humans. But off the bat, straight away, there's an issue with God revealing himself. See, God said this in Exodus 33:20. God said, hang on, is that up? I can't tell if it's up or not. Yeah, it's up. God said, no one may see me and live. So you can say that's an issue, right? If God wants to show up, everyone's going to die, which is not God's plan. He does want to reveal himself, but he doesn't actually want to kill us all. So his solution is that God uses intermediaries of different kinds. So, for example, God appeared to Abraham in the form of a man. This is a really interesting piece of scripture. This is from Genesis 18, just 1 to 2. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre whilst he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. So here in this little piece, we see both God and angels appearing as men. So the English is a little vague because it says the Lord. And so you could argue exactly over the meaning of the Lord in English. But the Hebrew is absolutely unequivocal. The Hebrew word which we translated here as Lord is Jehovah. Or at least that's how we translate that word directly in English, the transliteration. But that word in Hebrew is Adonai. It's absolutely God. So this is God showing up in the form of a human. It could be that God sent an angel to come to Karen in the chemist to pray for Karen. That may be a theophany right there. But God also uses other, perhaps more creative means of showing up. He showed up as a burning bush when he wanted to talk to Moses the first time. He was a pillar of cloud and fire for the Israelites as they travelled through the desert. He was a whirlwind for Job, still small voice for Elijah, etc. Lots of different ways and creative ways that God uses to show up in our lives, in lots of different people's lives. But there's one particular encounter that I want to have a look at today because, frankly, it's always tickled my fancy. So I've really enjoyed my prep for this week, and I hope you enjoy what we're going to have a look at. Apparently, actually, if you're quick, you might have just seen the sermon title. Apparently, Moses saw God's back. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So, now, just before we start to actually look at the text, I'll just set the scene for you. So Moses was then up on Mount Sinai. He received the Ten Commandments from God, and it took him 40 days. Now, already you're like, why did it take him 40 days to get Ten Commandments? Seems kind of strange. Well, it's actually because the Ten Commandments are just kind of really the headline commandments. They're kind of the clickbait, if you might. Moses actually received 613 commandments whilst he was up on the mountain. And in fact, Jewish tradition has it that Moses received on the mountain the entire first five books of the Old Testament, called the Torah. He actually received the whole thing from God on the mountain, even the things that hadn't actually happened yet. He received them and memorized them. God gave the Torah to Moses on the mountain, took 40 days, but the Jewish people down below were getting kind of impatient, and so they decided to make golden calves to dance around and worship around. And so God said to Moses, "Moses, you won't believe this, you really need to go and check this out." So Moses went down the mountain, saw what was going on, had a complete hissy fit, broke the tablets, and then decided he'd better go back up the mountain to appease God, because he knew God would be pretty upset about this. So God said, "Look, listen, I promised your forefather Abraham that I would give you the land of Israel, and of course I don't break my word, so it's yours, off you go, you can take it, but I'm not going with you." And Moses said, "Well, if you're not going with us, we're not going." And so God said to Moses, "Okay, look, you're a pretty good bloke, and look, for your sake I'll come." So let's pick up the story from there. Okay, I've taken a little bit of a license with the actual text, but that's basically the background. This is Exodus 33:17. So this is what the Bible obviously said that Moses, that God actually said. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this, the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Now, that's all cool, but what happens next is mind-blowing. Moses says something amazing. Moses says, "Now, show me your glory." And God said, I beg your pardon. you just said what to me? I mean, who exactly do you think you are? Seriously. At least that's what I would have said if I was God. But luckily for Moses, I'm not actually God. So this is what God actually said when Moses said that. The Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Pretty cool, eh? So, just before we go in, I just want to think about this for a second. Moses had just been with God on the mountain for 40 days. How come only now he's asking to actually see him? And in fact, not only that, before that, in verse 11 of this chapter, we read about the tent of meeting. It says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend." Face to face, yeah? "Then Moses would return to camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." So what exactly was Moses looking at before? Well, some kind of theophany, certainly. We know that. But Moses is clearly asking for something else. He's asking for something more here. One has the feeling that Moses knew that who or whatever he had been meeting with in the tent of meeting and on the mountain was somehow a representation of God, a theophany, but not actually God. Now, clearly, at some level, Moses actually didn't know what he was asking for, because God had to explain that if he did look at God, it would be too much for him and he would die. So God said, "Look, the best I can do is hide you whilst I pass by and you can see my back." Now that's just weird, isn't it? So I think when I got to this point, I'm like, let's just check the Hebrew, because this is just going strange places. So what does the Hebrew say that Moses could see? What did God allow Moses to see? The Hebrew word that was we've translated as back is acharei. Okay? But acharei actually doesn't mean back at all. It means after, the thing that happens after. The Hebrew word for back, just so you can see, is this word, is gav. They're not the same roots. They're not the same root letters. They're not related to each other. There's some similarity, perhaps, in meaning, but you get there's a whole world of difference here. What Moses got to see was what happens after the actual glory of God passes by. It's what's left in the wake of the actual presence of God. So I thought, well, let's have a look at what God said you can't see. Remember, God said, you can't see my face. And I look up the word for face in Hebrew, and it means face. It actually does mean face. So I can't go anywhere with that one. But it is kind of interesting when you think about it. When we see someone in a distance, or when we see them kind of quickly, we think to ourselves, oh, isn't that so-and-so? Yeah. And now what has happened in that moment? We might have recognized maybe their body shape or their hair or maybe their height, something like that. But we could be mistaken at the same time. So what do? We get closer until we can see their face. Yeah? We are definitively able to distinguish people from their face. You know one person from another person for sure when you see their face. It's the face that is unique. It's God's uniqueness that Moses wanted to see. But that's what God had to hide, to some extent at least, so that Moses wouldn't die. And I just want to take a little sidestep. You might have heard it said that God can't be in the presence of sin. I think I've even heard that in this church. Hopefully not by me, because that's not actually in the Bible. I mean, if you think about it, where did Jesus hang out? He looked for sinners. He was absolutely hanging out with sinners. In fact, the truth is kind of the opposite. God's not limited. God can do whatever he wants, and he can go wherever he wants. He can be anywhere with anyone he wants, absolutely. Sin can't bear to be in the presence of God. Even the great Moses, in fact, had too much sin in him, which as far as we know is only one thing, to be in the presence of God. Now, people sometimes say, well, if God is real, why doesn't he just show up on earth? Because if he did, we would all die. Because we are all sinful and it would be too much for us. And similarly, why doesn't everyone just get into heaven? Well, it's not because God can't tolerate everyone's presence in heaven. It's that not everyone can tolerate being in God's presence in heaven. Or rather, the sin inside of everyone can't tolerate being in God's presence. Now, of course, God created solutions to the problem. On earth, he uses intermediaries as a solution, a burning bush, a man like being, a whirlwind, etc. But in heaven, the solution is much more grand. In heaven, the solution is to remove the sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And of course, we know that the way that that happens is through faith in Jesus. And of course, because of Jesus' passion on the cross. Beautiful. So what does that mean for us today here on earth? It's yet another reminder why it is so important that we share the good news of what Jesus has done on the cross to as many people as we possibly can. Because without the forgiveness of sins, there's no way of being able to stand being in the presence of God in this life or in the next life. So here's a conversation that you might want to have with a seeker, someone who, like that Breno met, that wants to know a bit more about God. Now, I'm not saying this is the first thing you should say to someone when you meet them for the first time at a dinner party or something. But, you know, if you can tell that they're kind of a seeker and they want some answers, you might say to them at some time, so do you think that you could stand in the presence of God? Now, if they say... By the way, you might want to remind them that the greatest prophets that we know of in the Bible fell to the ground expecting that they were going to die when they even thought that they were close to being in the presence of God. So if you ask them that and you give them that little information or reminder and they go, no, I think I'll be okay, you've got some work to do. But if they say, yeah, hadn't quite thought about that, that's an issue, isn't it? Then you can say, it is, but there's a solution. And you know what the solution is. Of course, we know what the solution is. The solution we know is faith in Jesus. And you know what? You can be confident about that solution. The Bible tells us that we can be confident. This is Paul's op-ed, his open editorial to the Jewish people. This is Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, when you think about it, this is just astounding. Paul says that not only will we be able to stand being in the presence of God, but we can actually approach the throne of God with confidence. I mean, if you think about Queen Esther, Queen, right? Queen Esther, scared to death of approaching her own husband's throne. She was the queen. Yet Paul tells us that us, just everyday, boring, average, run-of-the-mill Christians, we can approach not just any king, but the King of Kings, and we can do this with confidence. And when we do, we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. This is the essence of what Jesus actually did for us on the cross. He turned what would mean death into grace and mercy. This is also a reminder, though, to stop putting God in a box. You see, God appeared to one man in a bush, and another one in a whirlwind, another one in human forms, to thousands in the pillar of smoke and fire. God is limitless. He can and he does communicate with each of us individually and uniquely according to his plan. He may appear to someone as a love heart in the clouds. He may appear to someone else as golden leaves falling off a tree. You see, just because God's showing up in someone's lives differently to the way he showed up for us, or differently to the way we're expecting him to show up, now, that doesn't mean that it isn't him. So, let's really be grateful that God does show up in person, in our lives, in a way that doesn't actually kill us. He shows up in our lives. He shows up in each other's lives. And let's keep expecting God to show up in more ways, ways that we can't even imagine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all the ways that you do reveal yourself to us. You reveal yourself through your word. You reveal yourself through your spirit. And through your physical presence. And in so many different forms. Jesus, thank you so much for making a way for us to be able to confidently not just be in the Father's presence, but actually approach his throne. Lord, you've entrusted us with the task of spreading the word about the good news that you have made a way for us. So help us to courageously and confidently approach human thrones, just knowing that you are with us and knowing that you love us. Lord, we love you, and we look forward to all the ways that you will continue to meet with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Words for